You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Good morning again, everyone. It's fantastic to have Phil here, who's going to be sharing God's word with us today. Phil and Carol are part of our church, and we're just honoured to have you preach today. Phil is also a former Baptist minister,
yep.
And still a Baptist. And just echo all that the guy said earlier, it's just fantastic to be part of the wider and broader church. And that's really important to us as a vineyard. Here we have our own values, a vision, DNA, but we work very much in partnership with other churches. And we also have in our church a number of senior pastors who used to pastor their own local churches, and now they're part of our congregation, which I just think is brilliant. It's a major blessing to Joni and I, for sure, just having their wisdom and experience and maturity to lead this thing. So I'd love for Phil to share with you all just what you've been up to with the Baptist Church currently.
Yeah.
And that would be fantastic.
Excellent. Well, the first thing I want to say is this is a great church to be part of.
That's £10, sorry.
Thank you. And I come up here thinking, I've come up to Hull to retire. There's no retirement in the kingdom of heaven. One of the Baptist churches called Cottingham Road Baptist Church had helped them previously and had appointed a young minister who left after a year. So they've got in touch with me recently, John, and said, will you help us out? And I said, provided it's to do with vision and strategy. And they said, yeah, it'll be vision and strategy, and we'll pay you as well. Unusual for the Baptist, just joking. Anyway, long story short, I'm just helping the church through that transition, and they're looking for a new minister and a youth specialist as well. So I've been preaching there a couple of times a month, so no retirement for me.
Pleased to hear it. Let's pray.
Okay.
Thanks, Phil. Well, let's pray for Cottingham Road Baptist Church.
Yep.
Lord, we thank you for that church. Thank you for its history and legacy. Even from when I was a student, driving past there and seeing the signs and just a witness, a gospel witness to that community. Lord, we pray for this next season. We pray for Phil as he brings this transition about. We pray for vision. We pray for strategy. We pray that that heaven would rain down upon that church community and upon that area. Lord, we thank you for Phil. We thank you for Carol. Lord, we thank you for all that they do in the kingdom. Lord, as they pour out, would you pour in? Would you refresh them, Lord? And Lord, give us hearts that are open and soft to your voice and your word this morning. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Thank you. So we're looking at a series from the book of Colossians, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And it's been a great series. And the whole theme of that series is discipleship. And John was preaching last Sunday, and he referred to a verse which was a bit of a warning. So saying, you're doing a great job. It's Jesus alone. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. It's all about Jesus. Focus upon him. And then a number of warnings came into the text, and John referred to one last week, which won't be on the screen, but if you've got your Bibles or your phone with you, it's from Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. And it says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of the world rather than on Christ. And what John was saying is, as Christians, we need to focus on Jesus alone. And he looked at some of the things historically that can draw us away. And one of the things he referred to was horoscopes. I don't know if you remember, if you was last time. And it got me thinking of a story. I tell you, as pastors, we can tell so many stories. But many years ago, this lady came along to our church for the first time, and I chatted to her at the end of the service. And I got to know her, and she says, oh, I work for a well-known person who was all into horoscopes and things. I won't tell you his name, but if I told you his name, you'd know who it was. And she said, I'm on the helpline for this person. Anyway, long story short, this lady who's visiting the church commits her life to Christ. So she goes back to this person who she was working for and she said, I can't work for you anymore. I've come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. So he said, well, can you just help us for a little bit? And she said, in what way? She said, well, all the religious people who ring up, I'll put them on to you and you can tell them about Jesus. And that's exactly what she did. And then after about a month, she resigned her position altogether. Anyway, this well-known person went through a period of illness and sickness and depression. And although she was no longer working for him, she was in contact. And she said, I'll get my church to pray for you. Jesus is in the business of transforming people's lives. I get an email, there's a magazine called Christianity, and I'm too tight-fisted to subscribe to it, but they send you an email every day. And I read something which was really interesting. It was an article by a lady called Kate Orson, and she said, TikTok's biggest tarot reader just deleted everything. So I thought, that's interesting. And so I was reading through it, and it referred to a lady, this person who was sort of dabbling in the occult, really, called Alex Reeds. And she'd come to know Jesus. She declared her faith in Christ. She wiped everything off TikTok. And now she's using that as a media to share the good news of Jesus. I say that because God is on the move. I've experienced something of God over the years. And I could tell you stories about that. But what I've experienced in this church has been the biggest move of God since me coming to know Jesus as Lord and as Savior. And I'm saying it's good and it's exciting and it's all about Jesus. But the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Colossae and wants to warn them about things that divert them in the wrong direction. So we're going to look at that today, and we're going to stand together as we read Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 to 19. In my commentary I was reading, it had the title, Defense Against Legalism. Let's just read it together. Colossians 2, verses 16 to 19. Therefore, let no one judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Please be seated. This is the word of the Lord. Oh, a better response than the first service. Well done. So I know in many ways what I'm sharing today is I'm preaching to the converted, but my experience has been when there's been a move of God, danger can be there as well. And if we're aware of those dangers, we can overcome them and continue the work. So I'm just looking at three pitfalls that we need to avoid as we look at Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And the first of these warnings is this. Don't get sideswiped. What do I mean by that? Well, let me give you a real-life example. I was working for a number of years in the pharmaceutical industry before I went to theological college, which I recommend, WTC, good stuff. And I'd made that decision, and my wife as well, to give up our secular employment to go to theological college and then eventually become a minister, and the rest is history. And I was meeting with my boss, and he was aware of what I planned to do. And I was so excited about what the future held. It involved a step of faith. We sold our house. We worked voluntarily in the church before going to college full-time and then eventually becoming a minister in a number of churches. So I'm there having this wonderful meal with my boss. And then after the meal, I drive my car out of the car park. And totally unexpectedly, we weren't sure, but I think the person who hit us was drunk, smacked into the car. Praise God, it was a company car and not my own. But it was embarrassing a couple of days later when we had to take that car back to Hoddesdon. Merchap and Dome was the company I was working for at the time. But it got me thinking. Sometimes when God reveals his plans and purposes, something can come up unexpectedly and sideswipe you. And Paul is saying a similar thing can happen spiritually. So as we look at verse 16 of Colossians chapter 2, we see how the danger is for these believers to be sideswiped. It says in verse 16, therefore, the context is Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Therefore, and then explains the implications of that. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to religious festival or new moon celebration or Sabbath day. So false teachers were coming into the church, this young church, and were trying to divert them or sideswipe them into areas that were of no real importance compared to Jesus. And they laid rigid restrictions in these areas, what you're to eat and what you're to drink, and religious festivals and new moon celebrations and a Sabbath day. I was reading a commentary called Expositor's Bible Commentary, and a man called Curtis Vaughan explained very well what Paul is saying in this verse. He said, in light of what Christ did, the Colossians were not to let no one judge their standing before God on the basis of their observance or non-observance of their regulations of the Mosaic law. So basically what that passage is saying, don't allow people to bind you up, to sideswipe you and draw you away from what God has called you to do. Now it's interesting, sometimes we've got to be a little bit diplomatic. So for example, if you're doing a ministry amongst former alcoholics, you don't necessarily want to have a bar drinking beer at the end of every service. So there's times where we might sort of have the weaker brother argument, but what you're getting here is pure legalism hindering people in their service for God. If you don't do the little things that they think's important, they put a guilt trip on you. And there are some who judge, and this was happening at the church at Colossae, those who don't agree with them exactly, even on minor issues. And the teaching of Paul is this from Colossians. Don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. And then in Romans, it says, be fully convinced in your own mind. So there's things that can become important to people. There's things that we might adopt in terms of the weaker brother argument. But I've been around long enough to have come across many of them. These may not be familiar to you, but let me just tell you one or two. You're not a Christian unless you speak in tongues. You know, praise God for the gift of tongues. But my experience was the gift of tongues came after my acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord and as Saviour. When you're baptised, is it in the name of Jesus alone or in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit? I don't care. Just get baptised because the Bible says repent and be baptised. But some people just are bogged down by things that don't really matter. I'm trying to think of some other sort of examples. There's so many of them. The King James Version is the only true version of the Bible. it was interesting. I was quite sort of smug and arrogant when I was a young Christian. And I was going to a Billy Graham meeting and we'd brought people connected with the church. It was an evangelistic opportunity. And there was these sort of somber looking people dressed in suits with big black Bibles with King James Version on them. And they were trying to prevent people going into the Billy Graham meeting because, God forbid, Billy Graham used the NIV now rather than the King James. There's so many areas. There's one group, I mean, they're evangelicals, but they say you must worship on a Saturday because the Saturday is the Sabbath and you've got to keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. And while you're at it, you must obey all the food laws of the book of Leviticus. And so on. So there's these things that can arise that just bind us up, steal our joy, and cause us to focus on what's not important. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. So I've put here a lesson to learn. Don't let people judge you on non-essential matters. I had to become convinced in my own mind that I was being obedient to God's call on my life. Praise God for teaching, and there's some great teaching in this church. But if you base your life just on the opinions of others, your faith will be faltered. Don't get sideswiped. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Secondly, don't get sidelined. Going back to this passage, it actually is written to the church at Colossae, but also a copy was going to be sent to the church at Laodicea. And if you know your Bible and the book of Revelation, you know that the church at Laodicea was lukewarm. And God wants us to do the work of the kingdom, but one of the ways that hinders that work is lukewarmness. But this isn't the situation in the church at Colossae. There was these people who'd reveled in what Jesus had done for them, and the evil one just wanted to sideline them so the church was no longer effective with the gospel. I gave an example of Steve Bruce. Anyone know who he is? Former manager of Hull City. And it was an exciting time in 2016 when, against the odds really, a bit like this time, Hull City were promoted to the Premier League. They had a great manager and great opportunities in front of them. But Steve Bruce, the great manager, had a bit of a squabble with the vice chairman of Hull City. So he resigned, leaving Hull City fans absolutely devastated. And then his plan B was to apply for the England manager's job, which he didn't get. So you had someone, Steve Bruce, who was a great football manager, sidelined because of the circumstances in which he found himself. Don't get sidelined. Look at verse 18 of our passage. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Just as a little diversion, there was a guy called Joseph Smith, and in America, an angel appeared to him called Moroni, and this angel said to him, basically, the Bible's not accurate. I'm going to reveal to you some golden plates. Long story short, because that person got obsessed with an angel, you ended up with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Don't let anyone who delights in false humility or the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They're puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. What Paul is referring to there is the tendency some people have to debate and argue over every issue. We've seen it in politics, haven't we? We've seen it in football. We don't want to see it in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's some areas where we agree to differ, and we just focus on important things. But these people weren't allowing that to happen. Their legalism was binding people up. And the sad thing was, these people were so obsessed with the legalism, they were no longer doing anything for Jesus. It just became a point of argument and winning arguments. They were focusing on things that didn't matter. So what was their problem? Well, Paul tells us what their problem was in verse 19. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. So what's actually happening was, these people had good arguments in their head, but they were no longer in communication with Jesus, and therefore their ministry and effectiveness amounted to nothing. They became ineffectual, no longer growing spiritually, just accumulating information. Don't get sidelined by non-essentials. Don't allow anything to prevent you from pursuing the calling that God has placed on your life. Just to touch briefly on that football analogy. Imagine the football match. There's the people in the crowd cheering on the footballers, and God says, that's not enough. Put on your kit, get on the ground, and fight the Christian fight. Don't get sidelined. Thirdly, and I'm coming towards an end now, don't get sidetracked. The temptation and the teaching of these false teachers was to make Christianity a list of do's and don'ts. Phil Moore, writing on this subject, said, we cannot become godlier by relying on rules to change us from the outside in, but only by relying on the power of Jesus' death and resurrection to change us from the inside out. And we're seeing that happening here at Hull Vineyard Church. God is on the move. And more of us, as we take those steps of discipleship, are serving Jesus. How does it happen? First of all, you commit your life to Christ. Next, you go through the waters of baptism. What else can you do? You can serve in a ministry in this church. You can be part of a small group. More and more people are taking these steps of discipleship. So there's some warnings. But the most important thing, which is my final point, is the one thing we must do, which is draw closer to Christ. Rules in your head are no substitute for obedience in your heart. I was thinking, you know, God's moving in this place, and there seems a real sense of unity and purpose. I was thinking, why is that the case? Because that's not true in all churches. And it's because we're focusing on the work of the kingdom. And when you're doing what God's called you to do, and we're seeing people come into faith and so on and so forth, the insignificant things have no role in our life together. Draw closer to Christ. It's summarized in verse 17 of our passage. So all these things that they're talking about, you know, whether you should wear a coat with mixed fabrics and all the sort of legalism of the book of Leviticus, Paul writes, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality is found in Christ. David Pawson, in his sermon series on Colossians, said, don't let anything distract you from Christ. The emphasis of Christian life and discipleship is fellowship with Christ. So isn't it wonderful that we're sharing communion together and remembering that? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hull Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hullvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hullvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.